Like most Americans, you might be familiar with samba and bossa nova, but there are tons of Brazilian genres out there. Did you know that? Well, that's something that Francesca Ondereg discovered when she teamed up with Erica Ribeiro. They did a tour together in Brazil, and now they've made a recording together, Images of Brazil. It's this week's feature on New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. Enjoy. I'm Julia Macher. I'm talking with Francesca Ondereg. She is a violinist, and she also is a violin professor at St. Olaf College, among many other things. Most importantly, though, she's just put out a new recording, and we're going to talk about Images of Brazil. Welcome, Francesca.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
Now, Francesca, if you were meeting someone for the first time, what would you tell them about yourself?
Well, I would probably say I teach violin at St. Olaf College. I live in Minnesota. I have a 10-week-old baby named Leo, and I also play violin and travel, and that's kind of how I came up with the idea for this recording.
And you're from the East Coast
originally. I'm from the East Coast
originally, so
yes.
How did you end up in Minnesota?
So I lived in New York for many years and applied for some different teaching jobs and ended up being offered this one. So not knowing much about Minnesota, I moved out here, and I've been very lucky because I really love living here. So I think of all the places that I could have moved blindly, I think this was a pretty good one.
What have you been most excited about in working with the next generation of violinists? Or maybe musicians in general? Maybe you're not working with just violinists, I don't know.
That's true. I also teach chamber music. I think I'm excited about how optimistic and how hopeful they are. I think I'm excited about how much they want to learn about making music in their communities and how much they want to maybe explore doing different things with their music than maybe we might traditionally think of. So not just playing music in a concert hall, but I had some students put together a concert recently where they went into the community and did different concerts. And it was just really exciting and creative to see what they came up with. So I'm excited by their creativity.
And they're taking the music to the people where they are.
Exactly.
Which is not always the traditional way of presenting classical music.
Right.
At least in this day and age. Mm-hmm. You have to come to the music. That's very cool. What attracted you to the violin? How did that become your instrument?
My parents wanted us to play musical instruments, but they thought strings were more social, like versus playing the piano, you just practice by yourself. So they just kind of handed us, and when I say us, I'm a twin, so it was myself and my twin brother. They handed us a violin and a cello and kind of walked into the other room, and we kind of squeaked around, and then when they came back in the room, I was holding the violin, so they said, okay, you can play the violin. So I have to say it was just a chance circumstance at the very beginning, but I love the violin. I love the repertoire. It's easy to carry, easier than the cello or the bigger instruments, and just the opportunity, you know, it is a social instrument to play chamber music and play in ensembles, and that's just amazing.
Now, you've had a number of opportunities to perform. As you said, you like to travel, and you've been making recordings of your music, and your newest one is called Images of Brazil, which also is the result of your travels. So tell me about this recording and how it came together and your musical partner.
So in 2015, I had the opportunity to go to Brazil, and it was very intense. I traveled by myself, went to a different city about every 3 days. So within Brazil, a huge country, I was flying from East Coast to West Coast of Brazil. So I did a lot of master classes, but then I also did some recitals, and I didn't have a pianist. So through a mutual connection, I met this pianist, Erica Ribeiro, and we played in São Paulo, we played in Porto Alegre, and we played in Brasilia. And Erica is just an amazing performer, and she's an amazing person, and it was one of the reasons I had such a great trip was that I traveled with her for part of it, and so she was able to give me a lot of introduction to what we were seeing and what we were eating and just kind of the overwhelming culture shock that one would experience in a situation like this. And so we had a lot of fun playing together and traveling, and we decided to keep the connection going. So we just kept talking and planning out, like, okay, you're going to be in New York next year. Let's try to get together and maybe play some Brazilian music. So we did that. And then I was going to be in South America later. So then we did another concert together, and it just kind of kept evolving. We decided to put this project together. Erica is a very well-trained international classical musician who has won many awards for the more traditional side of things and has studied in Germany and is a professor at a university in Rio. But she also has an interest in music that might be considered more crossover. She knows a lot of contemporary composers, and she also knows a lot of Brazilian repertoire, of which there is a great deal. None of it known in the United States, and some of it not very well known within Brazil either. And so she has all these amazing pieces that she's always been waiting to play. And so we decided to make an album out of these pieces, and many of them are very short, and each one with a very different style, and a lot of them are based on sort of folk traditions and different inspirations. So then eventually what we did was she came here to Minnesota. We recorded at St. Olaf College, and it was kind of funny to record Brazilian music when there was a foot of snow on the ground, but we did it.
The recording opens with three pieces for violin and piano, and the composer is Cesar Geha Peixi. These are challenging pieces.
Yes, they are. So Geha Peixi wrote these pieces, like most of his music, influenced by the music of northeastern Brazil. And the carnival traditions in northeastern Brazil were a little bit different from the carnival traditions elsewhere in the country. They had their own parades, their own costumes, their own music, different rituals. Everything is different. And that comes from having different African influences and religions and rituals in that part of the country. And in the first piece, Baião, it's kind of lilting piece, and it's like a sort of an introductory phrase that singers would use to sort of lead instrumental musicians to tell them we're about to start our carnival procession or our carnival party or something. Say something's about to happen. So it's this little dance. And that's a good way to start, right? To say something's about to happen. The second movement, very short, is a sort of a funeral procession. And the funeral procession part of it actually is in the implied rhythm that is underneath. But it's interesting because the notes in the violin and piano are very slow. You don't hear the rhythm at all. But if you're Brazilian, you just know what rhythm fits with these very slow notes. And then the last movement, a different drum pattern. Different carnival tradition. Kind of these phrases with a lot of rubato. They have a lot of flexibility. There's sort of more call and response activity in this last movement. So that when you're playing, or when we were playing violin and piano, we really feel like we're kind of talking to each other with the music. And that, I think, makes the most effective performance.
Well, like as you were saying, many of these pieces, you're saying, oh, this is so fun to play. Well, why would you choose something for your recording that wasn't fun to play?
Good question. Well, then I think that's something I've learned as I've matured, that that sometimes when you're younger, you just play something because maybe you have something to prove, or maybe it's really impressive or whatever. But then as you mature, you're like, let's just play the music that we enjoy playing.
The goal of this recording was to showcase a variety of music that is heard in Brazil, because what's intriguing to me is there's a lot more, as you said, to this Brazilian music than many of us know. Talk a little bit about that depth and breadth of the music that you discovered, and then we'll talk about how it's represented on this recording.
Well, Brazil being a cultural melting pot historically, and all the different folk traditions that have existed there for hundreds of years, a lot of 20th century composers and 21st century composers were trained playing in folk styles, knowing folk styles, and working those into their music. And so like most Americans, I had heard of samba and bossa nova, of course, but there were tons of Brazilian genres that I had literally never heard of. And so a lot of the music on this disc is based on, you can hear in the piece that it's sort of related to one tradition or another tradition. So for example, one is frevo, which is a tradition from northeastern Brazil. And it's like a lot of Brazilian music, it comes from the carnival tradition where people are performing. So there are dances and costumes and music that are all sort of part of the frevo tradition. The music itself is performed by a brass band, and it sounds to me like a sort of a fast jazz. But there is a classical piece on this recording, which is called Tempo di Frevo. So you have to know what that music sounds like, I think, in order to play it well. And Erica helped me so much, just kind of helping me get the sounds of these different kinds of music in my ear before I played the sort of classical version of them. One thing sort of in general about the music on here is how rhythmic patterns and sort of percussion and drumming is such a huge feature of musical life in Brazil. So what's interesting is that there are these percussion patterns which are so well known to everyone because you hear them in the street, and it might be very subtle in the classical music. So to get that subtlety into the phrasing, and that was a big challenge.
Is there a piece on this recording that really proved to be kind of the biggest challenge for you, that once you finally got it, you thought, okay, now I can get through the rest of this?
I think every piece is a little different. Of course, the sonata by Mozart Camargo Guarnieri, the last movement of that has a lot of rhythmic underpinning. It's this big scale piece, which a large scope, and it's also quite romantic and virtuosic, so that's always challenging. I think my favorite piece is the first song by Lea Freire. The one that's titled Playing with Theo. It has a lot of quick rhythms, 7-8, 11-8, and it has this kind of funny, I don't know how to describe it, it's like a funny musical flow. And I remember hearing Erica play that as an encore. And when I heard it, I said, we have to play that. We have to play that. It was just amazing to me. I just loved it. And so we ended up arranging it for violin and piano.
Probably the most familiar composer on this recording is Heitor Villa-Lobos, the 20th century Brazilian composer. Though I have to say the work you've chosen from this composer is not one that's very familiar, The Martyrdom of Insects, and we definitely hear those bugs in these pieces.
I love this work, too. It brings together a lot of different ideas. One is the nature pieces, because it's based on, you know, natural subjects, which a lot of Brazilian composers tried to evoke, you know, animal life or plant life or in their music. And so this idea of the insects, but it's also quite funny, you know, the martyrdom of insects. So the lament of the dying cicada in the first movement with these kind of mournful, trill, sort of dissonant figures. And then the sort of fluttering tremolo in the second movement of the firefly. And then the last movement, the moth around the flame, is kind of like Flight of the Bumblebee. But it's like the dying bumblebee or the dying moth. So there's this kind of dark humor to it as well. And then I just love the sort of dissonant harmonic places that Villa-Lobos goes to and how sort of strange it can sound. I just think it's really interesting and it's funny and all of that within, you know, 9 or 10 minutes of music.
A couple of others that I really love on this recording are actually the last two pieces. And one is called Clear Waters. I also want to highlight the fact that every composer on this recording is either from the 20th or 21st century. This was very intentional, I'm guessing.
Yes, absolutely. So I think that some composers in the 20th century, let's say composers like Villa-Lobos who had heard French music and were very, very interested in it, but they wanted to use some of those ideas and sort of write Brazilian music and kind of create Brazilian identity with music. And there's a lot of mid-century music which is just not that well known. And it's really, really amazing. And I think there was a sort of a particular time when this all kind of came together in the 20th century. And I think it obviously is still happening with composers like Lea Freire and Villani Cortes, who you mentioned, the composer of the Clear Waters. Another thing about this project, we actually selected photographs to go with each little movement or little piece to sort of tell that story in pictures. And we unfortunately couldn't print them in the program because there weren't enough pages. But those pictures are on my website. And that's kind of interesting to see the visual imagery of a Brazilian photographer, Aline Mueller, and how she thinks about Brazilian identity with the photos as well, because sometimes they're quite surprising and sometimes the choice of photos and music is quite funny and sometimes quite, for lack of a better word, like sentimental, but not in a bad way. And the picture that we chose for Clear Waters is someone looking into a pool of water, but the surface has rippled, so the surface is kind of disturbed. So there's always sort of multiple levels to what's going on. But this piece in particular is very beautiful and it's quite flowing. The harmonies in that piece are influenced by bossa nova, but you don't really have the rhythm of bossa nova. You just have it sort of in the chords. So again, it's sort of underneath the surface.
The final piece is called Night Flower. So we really do have a lot of nature going on here. We have the bugs and the flowers and the water. Tell me about this piece.
So this is a really interesting piece. It was based on a traditional song from Bahia. Nyatali was a composer who, I think, trained classically, but did a lot of composition for commercial projects. So his training and style were kind of crossover. And the harmonies are, they could be jazzy a little bit, but the piece is very slow and reflective. And it just is extremely atmospheric, and it creates this impression of, you know, being outside at night and sort of, you know, seeing these beautiful flowers or smelling the perfume of a beautiful flower. And it's just all about the atmosphere.
Why was that the right piece to wrap up the recording with?
I think because it's evocative, but it also kind of drifts off into the twilight, and you know, it's not like ending it with an exclamation point. It's like ending it with an ellipsis, you know? It's like sort of trailing off, and I just think that's like a very beautiful way to end.
Almost like to be continued.
Exactly. Exactly.
Francesca Ondereg's new recording, Images of Brazil. That's New Classical Tracks from American Public Media, with special thanks to Valerie Kaler for producing this episode. I'm Julia Macher.